This recording is from FinTech Nexus USA, formerly known as London FinTech USA, held at the Javits Center in New York City on May 25th to 26, 2022.
It's from the track Consumer Lending, BNPL, Cards, and Personal Loans, sponsored by FICO, and is titled The State of Consumer Lending Today Post-Pandemic. Speaking on the session are Lindsay Burkhalter from Curinos, Rosemary Kelly from KBRA, with moderator John Wirth from TransUnion.
Welcome, everybody. I'm John Wirth, Vice President of Consumer Lending at TransUnion, focused on partnerships, new products, helping to get new lenders in the market, and of course, supporting the market leaders. And I'll have our panelists introduce themselves.
Is this on? Everyone hear me? Good morning. My name is Lindsay Burkhalter. I am the Director of Consumer and Small Business Lending at Curinos. It's so great to see faces in person at a conference. So happy to be back. For those of you that aren't familiar with Curinos and our brand, so this is our first time at London FinTech, but basically, or FinTech Nexus, I should say. But basically, Curinos has evolved from a series of acquisitions over the last couple of years and mergers. So started off with Icon Advisory Group merging with Informa. I'm sure some of you, if not all of you, have heard that information. And then Informa merged with Novantas in the middle of last year to create Curinos. So basically, we are a financial services company that provide a significant amount of valuable information to help best manage your business. So whether it's benchmarking, whether it's lending and pricing data, whether it's, you know, mapping the digital client experience, you know, we look forward to working with our lenders and fintech partners.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Rosemary Kelly, and I am a senior managing director and head up the asset-backed securitization group at Kroll Bond Ratings. If you don't know KBRA, we are a global rating agency, and we've rated over $3 trillion of debt since 2010. In our ABS group, we have rated over 1,100 transactions since 2010, and we are the leading rating agency on consumer loan ABS. So happy to be here. Thanks.
All right, great. Well, the last 2 years have definitely been dynamic economic conditions. Government stimulus, lender support has largely rolled off, but unemployment is very low, wages have been increasing, and consumer spending is up. But of course, inflation is the highest we've seen since the 80s, putting pressure on consumers. And the Fed is raising rates, and we're already beginning to see growth tightening. And in that environment, we definitely like to see what we're, you know, what we're seeing in the latest consumer market trends. Taking a look at that, we'll take a look at consumer credit trends as well as ABS trends specifically for the personal loan sector. But I thought it would be good. Let's first start out with what we're seeing with the U.S. consumer today.
Thank you. So In conjunction with our conversation today, specific to the things we're talking about, I thought it would be most helpful to have a visual so that you guys can follow along with what we're discussing. So first things first, what's the market doing in the United States pre, during, and post-pandemic, right? This information, just as a note, is a source from the Fed, the Federal Reserve, as of March of 2022. But basically, what are we seeing here, right? We're looking at consumer spending on the top as a percentage of disposable income. And then on the bottom, we're looking at credit outstanding, right? Debt, what's the trend there? So when we look at consumer spending, you know, going back to January 13 as a percentage of disposable income, relatively static, right? You're between the 5-6% range. Then we hit 2019, we start to see that go up to 7.5% of disposable income. Then comes the pandemic, right? And you see that 7.5% savings skyrocket to 34, right? Everyone was being very cautious with their money, you know, kind of pocketing it instead of spending it. But throughout the pandemic, you'll see that 34% kind of made its way back down to 7%. In terms of savings as a percentage of disposable income. And now today, in 2022, as of January, we're down to 6.2%. So we're essentially lower than we were in 2013, 2014. So really important to note that. Then when we move on to consumer credit, what does our debt situation look like here in the States, right? So as of Q1 2019, pre-pandemic, the percentage increase or decrease that you see here is based on a simple annual rate, but consumer credit outstanding as of the first quarter of 2019 was approximately a 4.25% increase from the prior quarter, which was Q4 of 2018, right? And the composition of that was a 1.5% increase in revolving credit and then a 5.25% increase in non-revolving credit. But during the pandemic, right, we still saw an increase in debt, but you'll notice that the composite of that is much different, right? We're seeing an actual decline in revolving credit, which goes along with the fact that folks weren't using their credit cards, they weren't running up debt, but we were seeing an increase on the non-revolving credit side, so the installment loan piece. Now post-pandemic, or to our earlier point, if we're post-pandemic, if we're endemic, whatever demic we are, this is where we sit as of today. So consumer credit's up significantly. It's almost a 10% increase versus the prior quarter. Revolving credit is up 21%, right? So that just goes along with a lot of what we're seeing. If everyone sat in on the Lending Club keynote yesterday, Scott discussed that as well. So wanted to just highlight that. So we'll keep going here. So the first slide was to discuss market in general. This slide specifically talks about consumer demand, right? And what are we seeing from a line and a loan perspective? Now, the source of this information is Curinos's benchmarking tool called Lenders Benchmark. We have an unsecured consortium that basically we pull all this data together and then we're able to provide these insights. So on the left-hand side, the loan and line of credit perspective, you'll see that line of credit's relatively flat, right? But you see that ebbing and flowing in the loan space where when we're now into the first quarter of 2022 and beyond, we're seeing that upward trajectory. So that demand for that unsecured loan is there. So what about channel shift, right? What did we see pre, during, and post-pandemic with respect to originations of these products? Again, on this side, we've got the orange and the blue, but the blue signifies the branch, and the orange signifies the digital piece. And obviously, you can see the split here, right? You know, fast forwarding to 2022, we're probably at about 75% of digital originations in the digital space and about 25% in the branch. And then how is that affecting our cycle times, right? So from a branch as well as a digital perspective, the average cycle times as of 2022 on a branch are 2.6 calendar days, and that's application to booked. And on the digital side, we're looking at 1.6 calendar days, right? So you're definitely seeing almost a 50% improvement or efficiency on the digital side versus the branch side.
And Lindsay, I just had to touch on that point. During the pandemic, we saw this consumer shift to digital channels as they were locked up at home, made a lot of sense. But there was a question and almost an expectation that many of these consumers would then come back into the physical channels. But from what you're sharing here, we're not seeing that. Can you comment on, it looks like we've seen a permanent shift?
I believe we have. And I think lenders, right, your banking institutions are rapidly trying to get up to speed in the digital space on their other products, right? So from a digital perspective, many banks don't have a digital experience for mortgage, if you will, or equity, and they're really trying to get that up to where it needs to be to keep up with the fact that this is the new world that we're in, the digital world.
And it's also interesting looking at that cycle time when you look at the consumer adoption of fintech, and you know we work with numerous fintechs, of course, but then traditional lenders that are seeing their current customers shift to fintechs. I mean, that cycle time difference really calls out an opportunity, but also a threat to lenders just in giving that consumer experience.
No question. So if we move to the next slide, we'll talk a bit about what we're seeing in terms of product trend. As well as risk. So on the left-hand side, you'll see a trend at the top of that graph with respect to where weighted average rates are for our loan and line of credit unsecured products. So looking at 2022, you see we hit, a 12.7% average rate, now back down to a 12.3% rate. So again, higher, right? I think we're all anticipating rates are going to continue to rise. But compare that to a client or a consumer's 20% plus credit card interest rate, right? Just a prime opportunity for debt consolidation there. And then on the average loan amount side, we're at 14,300 as of the first quarter of 2022. We saw that similar spike in 2021. I would expect that to continue to rise over the next 6 to 12 months as well. So then we talk about risk, right? And in terms of FICO, what are we seeing regarding buy box expansion, compression, what have you? So if you look at this chart on the top, and this is by FICO band, so if you look at that top green section, right, it shows in 2019 first quarter, on average, the percentage of loans that were falling into the 640 to 659 space were around 4.4%. Fast forward to 2022, we're up to almost 7. So that's just an example of how we're seeing expansion within those bands. And if you follow the chart all the way down, whether it's 660, 680, you're still seeing that migration from, you know, lower to higher in those lower credit buckets.
And I know we don't have a slide on this, but could, maybe just talk a little bit about performance. You know, during the pandemic, we definitely saw delinquencies drop off. We saw accelerated prepayments. Consumers broadly, demonstrating really responsible behavior, shoring up their personal finances. Could you comment on what we're seeing in the current market?
Yeah, I mean, we are starting to see delinquencies rise. And so once Rosemary kind of chats about her piece of it, you'll see that a bit more graphically. But delinquencies are on the rise, driven by buy box expansion, FICO, looking at those lower buckets. The fintech space expanding there, and also what we saw on the first slide, right, in terms of spend as well as debt, right? We've got an increase in spend and a decrease in savings. So all of that, A plus B plus C equals increased delinquencies on the way.
And during the pandemic, we definitely saw a drop off in below prime originations. Now we've seen this mix shift again, where there was a resurgence of below prime originations contributing a bit to some of that deteriorating performance.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Lindsay. Let's, with that, that context, it'd be really great to see and explore with Rosemary what we're seeing in the ABS market. And perhaps if you could just share like a bit on the latest trends.
Sure.
And what has changed, pre-pandemic versus where we're at today.
Sounds good. Thanks. So I just wanted to first talk a little bit about ABS issuance. And this first slide really zeroes in on, we still call it marketplace, but marketplace consumer loan ABS issuance volume. And what we saw, prior to the pandemic and then during the pandemic, and so essentially, issuance dropped off considerably in 2020, as you can see in the graph. In 2021, we saw a big increase in issuance, wasn't quite back to, 2019 levels. But what we've seen in 2022 so far is, a dramatic increase to date. And this really captures just the first 4 months of 2022. We've already at like $4.8 billion. So, if issuance were to continue as it is now, then we would expect, the highest level of issuance. Lately, obviously the markets have all been, if I say choppy, I think that might be a downplaying it a bit. It's been, a tough time, across the capital markets. And I would say, we've seen some pullback in ABS issuance. We've seen some slowdown. However, many of the, lenders on the consumer side are programmatic issuers, and they've been able to continue to issue throughout this time.
Thanks, Rosemary. Maybe we'll move to the next slide. And if you could talk a little bit about, how existing deals are performing and whether we're seeing any signs of stress, given, some of the factors that Lindsay highlighted.
Sure. This graph is showing our KBRA Marketplace Loan Index. And we publish on a monthly basis an index for marketplace consumer loans. We've broken it down between tier one and tier two in order to try to, zero in on the performance. So there isn't quite the impact of mix shift. However, it's still something to always look for when you look at an index. So the graph on the left side is annualized net losses. And on the right side, you see 30 plus delinquencies. And again, broken out between tier one and tier two, which is really by FICO. You know, tier one is issuers that generally play in the 710 to 740 FICO space. And tier two is about 680 to 710. So, so we've definitely seen, you know, improved performance throughout the pandemic, you know, due to the reasons that both Lindsay and John have highlighted in terms of, you know, the very dramatic stimulus that we saw from the government, as well as, you know, the hardship programs that issuers provided to consumers, really more early on, because then once the stimulus kind of, you know, ramped up, there wasn't as much of a need for those hardship assistance programs. So performance has been better than what you would expect to see for similar types of credit on a normal basis. So I think that's going to be very important for us to look at in terms of performance that we're seeing now, because we're seeing definitely an increase, particularly in the tier two, in both annualized net losses as well as delinquencies. But again, that's coming off, you know, these sort of not normal levels. However, the question's going to be, you know, as, you know, inflation has picked up, you know, rates have risen, you know, there's other, you know, geopolitical, you know, issues. Then the question is, what does that mean for the consumer itself? And what point is it just normalizing the behavior? And what point is it really, you know, things getting much worse for the consumer? So that is something that we speak to regularly with the issuers in terms of what they're seeing, you know, when they're originating new loans, as well as what they're tracking in terms of servicing these loans. But so far, you know, we haven't seen things fall off the map completely, but we are seeing some uptick in both delinquencies and losses.
And how is that affecting how deals are being structured right now in terms?
Sure. So when deals are structured, so, you know, it really starts with what is the expected performance of a given, you know, pool. So we as a rating agency will analyze the pool and we'll break it down by credit tiers, like similar to how Lindsay broke down the graph by FICO tiers. Usually it's how that originator is scoring their loans. So it's not solely based on FICO. They each have their own model and, you know, proprietary model. And so the question is, you know, what does that mean for performance over time? And so if losses are higher, then there'll be higher enhancement levels in the transactions in order to account for that, to be able to absorb more losses. Also, with the rise in interest rates, what we've seen is, you know, there's less excess spread in the deals. So excess spread is the difference between, you know, what the consumer pays on the underlying loan and what the transaction pays in interest as well as, you know, costs. That's getting squeezed. So again, you'll see more hard credit enhancement going into the deals up front.
Thanks a lot, Rosemary. I think we've got a time for one or two questions. Just want to see if anything has come through. Not seeing it here. Perhaps if you could share if we have any questions, because I've not seen anything. Well, nothing's coming through on the system. Perhaps if anybody has any questions and you'd like to raise it to the group, you're welcome to do so.
Everyone's ready for lunch.
Yeah. All right. Well, then, thanks a lot, Lindsay. Thanks a lot, Rosemary. And thank you, and enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.